This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast. Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got Chapter 79, a very long chapter, about 20 minutes or so, up ahead on today's Glow in the Dark Radio episode. Alibi Jones is about to experience, well, we're not really sure what. He's made contact mind to mind with the knowledge base, which is the grand sum of the knowledge of the ancient enemy, which was stored within the starseed. And it started to direct him on how to use the substance that they extracted from the starseed to alter his DNA and his mind. So Alibi Jones is about to try this. He thinks he needs to do it to go up against his half-brother Hap. As a matter of fact, at the end of the last episode, the knowledge base was telling Alibi to get on with it. We'll see what it is as we get into Chapter 79 of The Star Seeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, with the long chapter ahead, and a holiday weekend, it's Labor Day weekend, which is why this is late. It's coming out on Monday. I don't have a whole lot of news this time around. So we'll hear from Nutty, and then we'll get into Chapter 79 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Chapter 79 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. A series of instructions came into Alibi's thoughts in moving images, guiding him towards properly opening the quartz container with the transformational substance inside, and showing him how to extract the tiniest drop for his use. He saw himself placing the drop low on his forehead, above but between his eyes. On my third eye? Thought, in a sense. Alibi stopped wasting time. Following the instructions, he opened the container. Using a styli, he teased out a drop from inside. He placed the drop on his forehead. Some dripped down his nose, and then everything began to change. Remember, selective containment.
Did he used too much, did and do, does it matter, no, doesn't matter,
did he use too much, did and do, does it matter, no, doesn't, it doesn't, maybe did he use too much, as it seems to be working, or we've missed the best, no, 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 we've missed the best. Nothing happened. That is, it occurred. Nothing was. He was nothing. He was everything. With a startling sharpness, he could see it all, everything, simultaneously. The sum total of life experiencing itself. The overload made him pull back into nothing, again and always, until... Give us a place to speak. The voice came. A place? He answered. He had almost forgotten he was a he, a person, an individual, a human being. Alibi Jones. A table and two chairs appeared in the void. He didn't like them just floating there, and so a floor formed beneath them. He walked over and sat down at the table. A figure approached the table, clad in a long, flowing white robe. Almost hard to look at. It threw off such a shine. Alibi looked up to see their face, but where its features should have been, there was only an oval-shaped space filled with visual static, video snow, white noise. That's disturbing, Alibi said, waving at the figure's static face. Hard to look at. Who shall I be for you, then? Who are you? A little of this, a little of that, many things. Filtered in and brought into focus through the knowledge base. But I am more than it is, so, again, who shall I be for you now?
Not my father, please.
I can assume the visage of one you've associated with teaching in the past. That might be appropriate. Alibi remembered the tall, older scientist who used to work alongside Krish, back when Alibi was growing up. Dell. He'd been gone a long time now. Alibi watched the static face morph into an older man's countenance. Dell. Or at least, Dell as Alibi remembered him.
Is that better? Dell asked.
Yes, Alibi said. Better than static, anyway. Alibi looked around at the nothingness. I'm not sure we have the time for a pleasant chat, though.
Dell laughed. Do not worry about time, he said. There is no time but what we make. We have removed ourselves temporarily from temporality.
We can do that?
We are doing it. It stands to reason that we can, Dell said.
Alibi didn't apparently remember Dell all that well. The figure's features kept subtly shifting, as if not quite settling into place. It was nearly as hard for Alibi to look at as the static face.
Concentrate. From voice to thought. Focus, Alibi Jones. Know this. The universe is consciousness and intention. When consciousness becomes more focused, it becomes more intentional. Bodies of flesh and blood are important. They are the means by which consciousness focuses and becomes intentional. But we become unaware of our intention even as it creates the world around us. Flesh is a filter, allowing greater consciousness to experience itself subjectively. Subjective manifestation's price is the body. Our meaty manifestation of the spirit of the cosmos. The concentration comes at a cost. Having become holy bodies, we no longer see nor recognize ourselves in greater consciousness. We must reconnect. We feel the longing and emptiness of being apart. Yet oftentimes, having become flesh, even when we again touch the greater consciousness, we do not see. It is ourselves,
And so we give it names and set it apart from us, still as gods, God, or another metaphorically named great power. You have reconnected, Alibi Jones. Can you hold on to your intention? Alibi attempted to understand. Selective containment? The thought answered. A question of focus and discipline and awareness. Quindalemus, one of the early scribes and masters who developed the concept of selective containment, described his system as a hierarchy of discipline, focus, and awareness. Is this the knowledge base? It is everything. Alibi came to see himself again, sitting at the table, across from the hooded figure, but this time, the face was a stranger's. Quindalemus. He nodded. Alibi Jones, Quindalemus said. You haven't been in class. Have you been studying your framework of containment? Class? Alibi looked around. The suggestion of an academic building filled in around them. Alibi felt his stomach drop inside as he realized he'd been missing the class. He must have signed up and forgotten, and now he was going to fit. No. I often have a similar nightmare, Quindalemus said, back at their table in the middle of nothing. Even now, years out of formal studies, I still wake up thinking of how the instructor will strike me down. Alibi saw Quindalemus as a young student take a mental blow to the head that knocked him unconscious. Brutal teaching methods. Alibi knew a blow was coming. Double doors. Ouch! Despite his mental defenses, Alibi still felt a sting from Quindalemus striking out at him. He stood ground, shook off the swipe, and stared back at Quindalemus. Impressive, Quindalemus said. Untrained, but you have potential, Alibi Jones, and someone has given you a gift. You have a hierarchy in place already, waiting to be activated. There is more to you than appears. As I said, you are somewhat impressive. How do I activate it, the hierarchy? You activate it. That is how. Not helpful. I can still hear you. These are all thoughts. You're just processing some of them as conversation. Got it. This is taking too much time, Alibi said. And yet, it isn't taking any time at all, Quindalemus said. I don't believe you. Good. Everything shattered. He was Alibi Jones, sitting at his desk, in his office, inside the hornet's nest. Metaphors bring understanding. They describe what is indescribable, yes, but in so doing, they give us the ability to grasp the indescribable on a symbolic level. Metaphors aid in understanding because they operate on a symbolic level as well as a physical level. They bridge the gap. Mind the gap. Your hierarchy will be your symbols, your metaphors, your means of connection with greater consciousness, and remaining rooted in your current reality. Your double doors do this already. You will form more, you will have to. Your awareness is expanding. You felt it stretch out, didn't you? For a moment, Alibi said, I was everything. You still are. It's only your perception that has changed. You came back into the comfort of your current framework. But you need a new framework, a larger one, a new hierarchy. That was Quindalemus's metaphor, of course. It need not be yours. I've been outside myself before, Alibi said, fought alongside other beings made up of mostly energy. Are you sure we need bodies? Yes. We are focuses and filters. We are subjective manifestations of greater consciousness. There is no other way this happens but through bodies. Over time, the need for bodies can evolve away in a race,
But then, shortly after, they become one with greater consciousness again and are absorbed. There is important learning in this experience of temporal space and intention. Learning greater consciousness is important experience as well. Not either, both. Embrace your metaphoric duality, yin and yang, spirit and flesh, above and below, within and without, imaginal and physical. They are connected. The universe inside leads to the universe outside. As above, so below. Your awareness floats. Alibi realized he was floating, his presence hovering above his body, still sitting at his desk. Mystics often thought of a silver cord connecting their... What is that? Alibi's awareness was drawn by his instructor to a ghostly figure in an apartment in the Hornet's Nest. Frozen in time, a phantom Dakor sat in a chair in the corner. Cat, Kit's deceased brother, who died saving Alibi's life, getting him his body back. He's dead, Alibi said. But I guess he can't leave. He's not dead. No? Just disembodied. That is a living soul right there. Are you sure? What are you? I am the knowledge base, but I am also more. We become what we are needed to be, shaped by our interactions with our users. Your expectations and interactions enable me to be more. His body died, Alibi said, but we knew his body and his soul separated. His brother Kit has been sensing him. It does make a certain kind of sense. You must save him, then. Well, after I do what? Save the universe first, though, right? There is much that needs to be done. And he's still out there, Hap. In following the knowledge base's instruction to look at Cat, Alibi learned the trick of expansion by doing it. Alibi expanded his awareness out past the point where they'd found Cat. Using my hierarchy. And he was. It was a means of protection, an awareness, a way of staying intact as one expanded, of retaining the essential core, maintaining identity, containing one's soul. Selective containment. Hints of others' thoughts came to him the same way aromas of different folks' choices at table in the galley wafted his way at dinner. Not whole ideas or meals, just the suggestion of them. Most people were going about their daily routines. The door drill wasn't routine, but most figured they were doing some kind of major maintenance because of the way the floors were all vibrating, a lot more than usual. Alibi sensed their thoughts as he expanded past them and out beyond the confines of the Hornet's Nest. Outside, Hap's presence glowed like a bright red bleeding wound a short distance away from the nest. Do not focus on him directly. Go! Alibi brushed past Hap, and two dimmer wounds as well, and someone invisible. Keep moving. Alibi continued to expand outward. We are outside of time for now. But powerful beings can break into this space if they discover us. Do not allow your focus to linger on any being of power in this expanding state. Maintain your internal integrity as you expand your awareness. Selective containment. That is the nature of the discipline, isn't it? Alibi asked. Preserve your core. Be one with everything. Yet still be yourself. That is one way to say it. Your way? I don't know yet. Even better. Alibi noticed his perception shifted as he expanded. He no longer experienced individual thoughts, but sensed
the distant, dense consciousness networks of whole population groups, concentrated on a planetary scale, then interplanetary, on through interstellar, to an intergalactic beaded network of jewels stringing together consciousness. The net of Indra, within and without.
No.
What is that?
No.
Pull back now! Though curious, Alibi sensed danger and menace in the intruding no. He let go of expansion to will himself back into his body. It wasn't working. He was spread out across the cosmos, his entire being exposed and completely vulnerable. Pull back! Focus on me!
No!
What was the power that called this no out at him? It was beautiful. He could not comprehend it. It was nothing. It was beautiful. He tried to reach for it, but each attempt fell away short, and then shorter of it. He lost bits of his limbs each time. His fingers, then hands, now back to his elbows. Maybe it was eating him. Focus and pull back now! The knowledge base. My desk. Hornet's nest. Pull back! Home. The nest. Pull back. Pull back, Alibi Jones! Pull back! And Alibi was home. Back in his body. Sitting at his desk. In his office. In the hornet's nest. You are very lucky. That was a great and eldritch power, and not to be trifled with. You should not have made it aware of your existence. Worst of all, it now has had a taste of you. You should not have given it that taste. It will eventually come for more. It always does. You should not have fed it, Alibi Jones.
I didn't mean to. What was that?
We cannot say.
Or you won't?
It is a long way away from here, physically. You may be dead before it finds your kind, if you're lucky. I recommend you do not provoke it again, nor show it where you are.
All the more reason to move the hornet's nest, then.
Oh, that will not matter. It will find you wherever you go. Great.
Alibi looked around the office. Something felt different. Are we back inside time?
We are.
Thought so, Alibi said. Am I going to keep hearing you inside my head now?
You can, if you want this feature to be active. But proximity grants you easy access currently.
You will have to access me specifically by thinking of this symbolic code. It is called a sigil, and will summon me. Alibi saw a stylized KB interwoven inside of a circle, like a business brand name's label.
That's KB for knowledge base? Yes, we see this as your name for us.
So I'll think KB and get to you now, this way.
Yes, KB thought, and I will respond.
Excellent. Okay, you can leave me alone for now then, KB.
Goodbye.
Alibi was alone with his thoughts for the first time in what seemed like days. Hours, anyway. He looked at the clock. 10 minutes had passed since he'd sat down.
That was Chapter 79 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
So, Alibi Jones has gone cosmic.
Quindalamus of the people, the ancient enemy, giving him some instruction. The knowledge base appearing as Del.
I haven't written Del since the Vatican Assassin trilogy.
It kind of made sense to bring him back here. And, you know, with Edwards back and a few other things kind of echoing back to the Vatican Assassin trilogy on purpose. I thought Del made a little bit of sense there. The knowledge base itself, very curious. And the great no. What was that? We may not find out just yet, but we've not heard or felt the end of it. Mwahaha. That is all for this week. Kind of a short week. Things are still a little light at the moment, although I think next week, as we get into September proper, I'm going to start talking a bit more about the Vatican Assassin project that's going on for the 15th anniversary celebration, November. So there's that to look forward to. And Chapter 80 of The Starseeds of Earth coming up next time on Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.